I have so much that I would like to say as we begin this effort this week, but I have a much more limited amount of time in this hour than I will later, so I'm going to save that until a little bit later. I'd like for you to open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6, if you'll be turning there. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking in verses 25 through verse 34. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Jesus says, beginning in verse 24, For no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love the one. He'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Our text here this morning is taken from the greatest sermon ever recorded, what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And I believe that as we read through this text, the devotion that Jesus gives to the subject of worry, not just here, but throughout the Bible, it reveals to us the prominence of worry as being a problem in our life. Now, I'm going to say this again, but I want to begin by pointing out that we're not talking about being mindful of and planning for things that are certain and due to come to pass. God certainly tells us to make plans and to prepare for things. But what we're looking at here and what Jesus is warning us about is an idea of overt care and concern, solicitude, just being anxious about things that we should not be overly worried about. When we look at this word as it is used by the Holy Spirit, it is the word merimneo. And it is translated worry here in this context. It is translated by the word care in other passages of Scripture. And the word literally means to divide the mind. It means to divide the mind. You know, as we look at this word, as I said, the word merimneo, and certainly there's a lot more to the word than what I can mine out. But from what I understand, this word is a compound word. It comes from two different words. And the two words put together is the idea of being of the mind and of being divided. I want to read to you what A.T. Robertson said about this particular word. The word is used also in Philippians chapter 4, where he tells us to be anxious for nothing. That word anxious in the New King James is the same word. I believe the King James says, take no thought. And so A.T. Robertson says, be not anxious for your life. This is as good a translation as the Authorized Version was poor. Take no thought for your life. The old English word thought meant anxiety or worry. But words change with time, and now this passage is actually quoted as an objection to the moral teaching of the Sermon on the Mount on the ground that it encouraged, nevertheless commanded, a reckless neglect of the future. We've narrowed the word thought, to a mere planning without any notion of anxiety, which is in the Greek word. So he's explaining to us that when you read the King James Version and he says, take no thought for tomorrow, the way the English word was used at the time of that translation meant the idea of overt worry or of anxiety. We don't use it that way today, so it seems to not make sense to us. But he says, the verb merimneo is from meris, merizo, because care or anxiety distracts and divides. It occurs in Christ's rebuke to Martha for her excessive solicitude about something to eat. The notion of proper care and forethought appears in 1 Corinthians 7 and in verse 32, where Paul writes, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. When he talks about caring for the things of the Lord, that's a different word. That is actually talking about the right kind of concern, if you will. In Philippians chapter, in 1 Corinthians 12 and in verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. There is a proper type of care, and there is an improper type of care, is what he's telling us. Vincent, in his word studies, says, take no thought. The cognate noun is merimna, care, which was formerly derived from meris, apart, merizo, to divide, and was explained accordingly as a dividing care, listen, distracting the heart from the true object of life. This has been abandoned, however, and the word, thought, is placed in a group which carries the common notion of earnest thoughtfulness. It may include the ideas of worry and anxiety, and it may emphasize these, but not necessarily, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 7:32, caring for the things of the Lord. So I read all of that so that we understand the background to this idea, merimneo, that Jesus uses, that the Holy Spirit uses here. And as we understand that Jesus is telling us not to worry, he's talking about that overt type of anxiety. And I think that we all understand that. But I want to make sure that we can make a distinction between the two. And to understand, when we see in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all your care upon the Lord, that's the word for anxiety, for he careth for you, that's a different word. That's the idea of having an affection or an interest in us. So as we go through the Bible, it helps us to be able to understand the words that are being used and what we're being warned about here. You know, brethren, while I've not been a worry wart in my life, I have let worry and anxiety paralyze me on different occasions. And while we may get control over worry in our life, then at other times it seems to creep up before we even see it coming. And the reality is that at every point in our life, there are things that we can worry about if we choose to. The Lord is telling us not to become a slave to that emotion, not to allow ourselves to be controlled by that. And he's telling us here in the Sermon on the Mount that worry is actually extremely dangerous. It's just one of Satan's tools to try to destroy us, because when we think about that idea of a divided mind, it's something that can actually take our minds and our thoughts away from God. Remember over in James chapter 4 and in verse 8, James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That very idea of being double-minded is the idea of having a divided heart. There are things that we're concerned about that are of an eternal sense. And we're concerned about things that have to do with God. And yet at the same time, we're being pulled over here and we're concerned about a lot of temporal things. And James warns us that will destroy us. That affects our affection toward God, and we've got to make sure that we're able to control that. You know, when Jesus rebuked Martha in Luke 10 and verse 41, Martha, Martha, you are worried, there's that word, merimneo, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. You see that? What was happening to her? Her mind was divided. And there are many things in our lives that we can be worried about. But one thing is needed. We've got to make sure that we don't let our heart be divided. It doesn't mean that we don't plan for the future. The Lord is not saying don't prepare. He's not saying that planning is wrong, but he is saying that anxiety and worry will divide and conquer our heart and our faith. Proverbs chapter 12. In Proverbs 12 and verse 25, the wise man said, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I want to tell you, brethren, in our culture today, the rate of depression, chronic depression, is at an epidemic level. In all ages, from young to old. And it's something I didn't hear that much about when I was a young man, and that doesn't mean that it wasn't a problem, but it has kind of been quantified or diagnosed in a way today that it is amazing how many people are impacted and affected, defected, and in many ways paralyzed by this problem of depression. It's a serious matter. I recognize that it's a real issue. It's been identified as a mental illness. There are a lot of them. And a lot of them are of a spiritual nature. I think the Bible reveals to us a lot of aspects of our thinking that is actually an illness to the mind. Depression is one of those. And what is the root of that? What brings that about? I'm not saying that there cannot be a physical and chemical and other things that contribute to this. They certainly do. But one of the things that he's telling us here is that in the same way that my heart health has to do with the food that I put into my body, my mental health has to do with the thoughts that I put into my mind. And we don't need to just discount that and act like it's something that is totally and completely chemical. We've got to acknowledge that many times our illnesses, whether they be of a physical nature, of a mental nature, they require that we take a broad and a comprehensive approach to these things. And God's telling us that anxiety, this incessant worry and solicitude, is something that creates this illness that affects so many Christians. Jesus is warning us about this. And this is what I want us to realize this morning. And that is that worry can be controlled. I know that a lot of times we want to believe that it can't be. Maybe somebody says, well, don't worry so much about that. I can't not worry about this. This has to do with my kids, or this has to do with my grandkids, or this has to do with this matter, or with that matter, and maybe even of a spiritual nature. I cannot worry about that. Yes. The Bible says that worry can be controlled. Look in Philippians chapter 4. I want you to begin with me in verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I want you to begin with me in verse 4, if you will. In Philippians chapter 4, he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. There's that word merimneo. Be anxious for what? Well, things that have to do with my kids. Things that have to do with our finances, our retirement. No, he says be anxious, be merimneo, be divided in heart for nothing. But in everything, here's the contrast. Here's the solution. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The word meditate means make these things your diet. This needs to be the basis, the whole of your mental diet. This is what you put into your mind. And he's telling us that if you will do these things, what things? I want you to go back to verse 4 and see the very first thing that we've got to do. We have to rejoice. And a lot of times we think to ourselves, I know I need to rejoice, and I'm going to find these things to rejoice in as soon as this gets taken care of. As soon as this gets resolved, I'll quit worrying about this and then I'll rejoice. No! There will always be trouble in this world. We will always be surrounded by the lions and tigers and bears of life, metaphorically. And what the Lord is telling us is that in the midst of that, we need to rejoice, Paul and Silas, in the Philippian prison, singing hymns of praise to God as their feet are in stocks and they've been beaten. We've got to choose to rejoice. And then secondly, notice in verse 5, he says, let your gentleness, that's a word that means moderation, it's the idea of meekness. This idea of moderation, what's included in this word is that we are not the kind of person that is up here and then down here. When things are good, we're on a high, and when things are bad, we're down on a low. That we're driven and controlled by emotion all the time. This word moderation means that we need to have a spirit that stays here. That doesn't mean that we don't have days when we're blue. That doesn't mean that we don't have times when we're really excited. But we're not off the charts up here or off the charts down here. He says, let your moderation be made known to all men. You know what people in the world need to see about us? Is that when there are difficult times in our life, when there are catastrophic things going on around us that paralyze people of the world who are not children of God, they see moderation in us. Is that what the world sees in you at work? Is that what your friends or the people around you or your brethren see in you? Is that you are steady in your faith? Again, that doesn't mean that we don't have some blue days and we don't get really excited about some things, but it means that we're not on a high, or that that all is lost, and that we're down in this deep hole where everything is wrong. And what he's telling us here is essentially he's giving us what I want to suggest to you this morning is a prescription. In the same way that a doctor will call in and a pharmacist will write out a prescription for us, take this many times a day for this many days, and then do this and do this, we'll have a prescription for health. And that's what he's doing for us here. He's giving us this prescription for health. So we rejoice. We have to begin there. And then we've got to focus on staying moderate in our emotions. Don't let our emotions control us. We let facts control our emotions, and many times we're looking at the wrong facts. We need to hear the facts from God when we read from His Word and we believe what He says and we trust that He will never leave us or forsake us. Those facts control our emotions and we affect that moderation. Then notice also, as he goes on in verse 6, with thanksgiving, there again is that rejoicing and that praise, let your request be made known to God. We cast our care upon Him. All whatever anxiety is there, we give it to God. Then, he says in verse 8, we think about things that are going to bring about that moderation. There it is. My friends, worry can be controlled. We just have to have the will to do it. We have to have the will to do it. We have to decide that we're not going to be a victim. And I'm not saying that we can change the fact that we're being persecuted or that we're going through this very difficult time in our family or at work. We often can't change that. But we don't have to be a victim to it. That has to do with our perception of ourselves and of our situation. And what we've got to keep reminding ourselves of is that in the midst of all of these things, we are more than conquerors. We're being slaughtered all day, Paul says, and yet we're more than conquerors. That's that perception and that mindset that affects us in a way that we are not a people of anxiety, of depression, and of worry. I want to tell you, brethren, I think that this might go further than any other one thing in our personal evangelism out here in the world, is for people to see something that is so dramatically different in us than the world. They might see the doctrinal differences between us and denominationalism, but I want to tell you what will really have an impact on the world is when they see genuine faith that impacts our perception of ourselves in life. Because I want to tell you, Worry is a manifestation of a lack of faith. And worry destroys hope. When you take faith and hope away from our lives, you've destroyed us. Satan is very good at what he does. While he may not be able to impact us through immorality or through sin in some way like that, he is able so many times to affect us by the aspect of worry in our life. And we've got to understand this contrast between rejoice and anxiety, between gentleness, moderation, and the idea of worry, and to understand that the peace of God will surpass all understanding if we will trust that worry can be controlled in our lives. Well, we're at 10 till, and so what I've done is I've set the stage in this section, understanding that there is such a thing as worry and that it is something that can be controlled. And what we're going to do in the next hour, and I realize maybe we'll have some teachers who are out of here, but hopefully you can listen to it, the recording later. In the next hour, we're going to take this to the next stage and understand how, beyond Philippians chapter 4, how to control this aspect of worry. Brethren, I want to tell you this is a serious problem. It's been a serious problem in my life. As I said, I don't think I would be considered a worry ward. And yet it's impacted my life. It's impacted my physical health. It's impacted my preaching and my work for the Lord before. And it shouldn't be so. We need to help each other to overcome this very effective tool of Satan. So I hope that you will keep these things in mind, and we'll pick up here and we will go on in the next hour to study this. As we look at these passages and we think about the idea of the Lord giving us this prescription to overcome the problem of worry, what we've got to understand is that the key ultimately is in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Him. And He goes on to say in Philippians chapter 4 and in about verse 19 that He will supply all of our need. But we've got to be in Him. In order for us to have this confidence in the midst of trial, in order for us to rejoice when everything seems to be wrong in the world, we've got to have the blessings and the confidence and the safety and the refuge that is only found in Jesus Christ. You can have that this morning. You've got to come to Him in faith, trusting Him, believing in Him as the Son of God, your confidence in Him as your Savior, and the fact that He will be able to take you to heaven in the end. Many mansions there. He's gone to prepare a place for us. Is that where you're headed? In order to come into Christ, you've got to put your faith in Him, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized for the remission of sins. You can do that this morning. Maybe as a child of God, you've been taken captive by this problem of anxiety, of worry. Maybe it's led to other aspects of depression, or it's affected other parts of your life. Put your trust in the Lord. Ask for His help. And if you need our prayers, we can pray with you or for you. But we want to help. We've got to help each other with this issue. So we would invite you to come if you need to respond in any way as we sing the invitation song.